Well, this will be really cool. There's two mediums we're talking about. One is beneath the waves, and one is above the ground, right? The USS Montana, this Virginia-class SS-794, which holds the vigilantes of the deep. We have a sailor on board. On board for today, I should say, for the show, Lieutenant Connor Smith and his lovely bride, Isabel Smith. They are here today on the program as part of Navy Week, which really kicks off next week. We'll talk about the Navy Week program, but that's really cool. I mean, they're on the boat there. It's one of the fast attack submarines in our fleet, so we'll talk about that. And then the skies over Billings come alive. The Yellowstone International Air Show. Matthew McDonald, co-chair of that organization, is going to join us to talk about this return of U.S. Navy Blues Angels to Montana. We got a fun show today. Matt McDonald will join us a bit later on, co-chair of the Yellowstone International Air Show. He was going to be in studio, but this makes a lot of sense. He's dealing with some things air show related as well, and always last minute stuff comes up. Our first guest, though, is Lieutenant Connor Smith, operations officer, and Isabel Smith as well. Connor, a part of this Navy Week in Montana here too, right fresh off the USS Montana, and our first guest this morning. It's an honor to have you on, Lieutenant. Thank you so much for your service, and Isabel, thank you for the support and the sacrifice, and let's get into this. How you doing?
Doing great, Tom. How are you?
Hanging in. It's Friday, like I say, only two more working days this week, so there's some encouragement with that. And Isabel, good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, thanks for coming on here. It's an honor for us to chat with you. Connor, tell us what you do. Tell us your job with the USS Montana, and then let's catch up with the vigilantes of the deep.
Yeah, Tom. So I just finished up my tour on the Montana. I was the assistant operations officer. So my primary role was planning the, next 24 to 48 hours of the operations, on the ship, basically writing down the plan and getting it signed off by the captain. But then also kind of looking further down the road, actually planning the missions that we were tasked to do, getting into the details and making sure that we were going to have Montana at the right place at the right time. To do our mission.
Yes, yeah, and I know that missions are sensitive, and the ship is a vital part of our military defense as well. But you have been like with this baby, so to speak, kind of since the genesis, right? Tell us about this ship.
Yeah, so I joined the Montana. She was actually in Virginia. She was in the shipyards getting warranty work done, essentially is what I like to call it. She was already delivered, but, getting everything, fixed up and, ready to transfer to Pearl Harbor. And it was really cool, in the dry dock, you get to go into places that you typically can't go. I was in the ballast tanks, got to climb through torpedo tubes, the missile hatches, places that right now you couldn't get to because, they're under the water. So that was, I think, the coolest thing is, I've been in places that, people can't get to. So that was just an amazing experience, getting to do that. And then obviously, to get from Virginia to Hawaii, you get to go through the Panama Canal. So I had a, full expense paid cruise, through the canal. I got to see, the engineering marvel that is. And then, the beautiful view of the Hawaiian Islands when we got there about 3 days before Christmas. So a wonderful Christmas gift.
Yeah, I love hearing these stories too. How have sailors typically kind of bond to their ship, right? And their shipmates, so to speak. How has that process been, Connor? Do you talk to the ship, so to speak?
Yeah, I will say the Montana. She does. She has a mind of her own. Mm-hmm. We like to say, what kind of mood is she in?
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of joke and hope, let's hope that she, wants to work and, keep everything running. But, the crew, we always, you're in a tight space, you're no more than 300 feet from your closest person because the ship's only 377 feet long. So,
yeah.
you basically eat, you sleep, you basically do everything with about 130 people that we'd have on board. And you get a close-knit bond. You know, you get really personal, you know, not just with, you know, myself, like with the other officers, but, you know, the sailors that you're in charge of, you know. What do they like to do? What do they do in their free time, you know? Where are they from, you know, who their family is? And, you know, you get to have these connections that are just, you know, amazing. And, you know, you can reach out to them, you know, a year, 2 years down the road and, you know, kind of pick off right where you left off because that's how well you know them.
Yeah. How have you, and I'm sure you run the ship through its courses, so to speak, in before deploying it. But getting out there after all of that testing, how did that feel?
It is probably, I'll say, the greatest accomplishment, you know, my professional career to basically see the boat where, you know, it couldn't leave the dry dock because it was, you know, ripped apart to, you know, she's out, you know, somewhere in the ocean, doing God's work, as we say. And I think it's just it was the coolest thing to be part of that experience and to help get her ready, you know, for her maiden deployment and exercise her on that deployment.
What does it feel like? What does it feel like when that ship, I'm not sure how deep it goes, and I know there's some things that you can't necessarily talk about in that regard, or how fast it goes, but what does it feel like, you know, when that ship is at full speed, so to speak? Is it a different feel in the water?
Yeah, there's definitely a different feel to it. You know, the ship has a heartbeat, and obviously kind of like, you know, if you're walking, vice if you're running, you know, you can tell that your heart's pumping. And you know, it's a fun feeling. Like, hey, like we're getting after it. We're going somewhere. And, you know, it was always a cool thing to wake up to. You're like, hey, why are we going fast? Like something must be going on. And it just, you know, it started the day with excitement. So it was just a cool thing that you could tell just the feeling and, you know, the heartbeat of the ship. And you knew something is changing. We're going to go do something great.
Lieutenant Connor Smith again with us here, USS Montana. Of course, the Montana committee has done an awful lot with the sailors and you know, in the commissioning of that. And Bill Whitsitt, who chairs that committee and a friend of the program, has hosted this show from time to time as well. Just keeping us up to date on that. Let's talk about those special touches that you see in that ship that connects you to the people of Montana. Do you feel connected to the people of Montana, Connor?
Tom, when I'm on board the Montana, like, I think I'm actually, you know, in the state. You know, we have beautiful artwork of the of Glacier National Park in the Cruz Mess, just a beautiful landscape of the mountains and the rivers. Actually, in the wardroom on our table, it's a beautiful artwork of just different scenic views of the state. And then, you know, with that, just throughout the ship, we have different just different little pieces of artwork. And it's just kind of cool to, you know, take a minute out of your day and just kind of look at that. And, you know, you feel that connection to the state.
Yeah. I have to turn to Isabel Smith, your better half, if I may. Good morning, Isabel. Thanks for coming alongside. I appreciate that. You've been on board the ship, right?
I have.
What do you think?
I think it is the coolest experience.
Yeah.
We were actually lucky to take our 4-week-old daughter on board, and it is very cool. Like he was saying about the table in the wardroom, there is so many different facts about Montana on it. It is just a very cool experience.
Well, congratulations. We were chatting about this is your first child and all that goes along with being brand new parents. And not to mention, let alone your husband, her father, Lieutenant Connor Smith, deployed for months at a time. I want to ask you how that feels, how you guys support each other. When Connor is deployed, you know, how do you support him? And Connor, I'm going to have you come back and say, how do you support Isabel, especially at this time, you know, with your duties in service? So Isabel first.
Yeah, it is great, even though we can't get phone calls or send pictures, but we do get to communicate with email most of the time. So I do, you know, always send supportive words and let them know what's going on, with whether it's day-to-day or, you know, what are things that our daughter Bridget is doing. So that is definitely a huge way to support him while he's underwater. But also, too, like, if they're gone during, like, football season, I like to send, you know, the Sunday football scores to them. That way they can keep up.
Who's the team? Who's your favorite team, Connor?
You know, as a Florida native, you know, I have to say the Dolphins, but, you know, not the best performing, but hey, you know, I'm always rooting for them.
Oh, I've loved the Dolphins for years too. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So how do you support Isabel and your now 10-month-old child?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, like she said, you know, email, that's the best way to communicate. But, you know, now that we live in the 21st century, it was actually cool. You can, you know, go onto a, you know, flowers.com website. And, you know, if we ever had a special day coming up, you know, you could, you know, pick the day you wanted the flowers delivered, have a, you know, a little note written there, you know, stuff like that. So that way, you know, she still knows that I'm, you know, thinking about her, and I can, you know, kind of catch her on her feet and, you know, kind of surprise her, even though I've, you know, been gone already for a couple weeks or a month or so.
Yeah, that's good, and that's so vital. Isabel, what are some of the challenges? I mean, I obviously would think that at times you probably are anxious about your husband's job, so to speak.
Yes, you know, everything comes with its own challenges. One is definitely communication, because being on a submarine, like I said, you don't get those phone calls, and emails are, you know, scarce. Whether, you know, I could send an email and I don't get a response for a couple weeks, or, you know, we're just missing each other when it comes to, you know, responses.
Mm-hmm.
But we always say that no news is good news. So I always just keep a, you know, a positive, you know, spirit about everything.
Yeah, very good. And Connor, how does that weigh on you, knowing that your loved one's back home, have those kind of challenges?
It's definitely hard, Tom. You know, like I, you know, I think about them every day. You know, while I'm gone, hoping that everything's well. But you know, there are times where, you know, you're on the mission and you're focusing on that, and you know, kind of once you're off watch and you're, you know, maybe about to go to bed, you know, you get to spend, you know, those couple minutes, you know, thinking about that, or, you know, just writing something down and eventually, you know, sending it off to her. But, you know, there's definitely times where you think about that and, you know, you just hope everything's going well. And, you know, the same thing, you know, no news is good news.
Yeah. What was your call to service, Connor? Why are you a Navy man?
I mean, one is just, you know, I always wanted to, you know, be a part of something bigger. You know, I had, you know, my grandfather on my mother's side was in the Navy. So, I mean, that was a big part of it. But, you know, with, you know, called to service and, you know, serving my country, I actually, you know, wanted to, you know, start off being a pilot, you know, fly jets for the Navy. You know, thanks to the Blue Angels, you know, getting to see their shows as a kid. So I'll get to kind of relive my childhood this weekend with the air show. But, you know, the Navy, you know, saw me a better fit in the submarine community. And at first that was kind of a hard pill to swallow, you know, thinking I wanted to be, you know, in the air going fast, vice under the water, you know, slow and quiet. But, you know, I'll say it's probably the best thing that happened. You know, I got to do so many different things that, you know, didn't even dream that I could have, you know, done. Living in Hawaii, getting to see, you know, different things and do certain missions that are just beyond my belief.
Yeah. And what's it like? I mean, how long can you guys stay submerged? Or maybe that's classified information. Maybe there's a range you can tell me.
Yeah. I mean, so obviously we're a nuclear powered submarine. So, you know, electricity, water, you know, all that we generate on our own. No need to refuel. The only thing that really limits us is food. And then, you know, parts or if something breaks down, but, you know, a submarine can stay out for, you know, months before we'd have to pull in.
Yeah, that's and their mission is, well, it's a Navy mission, but it's unique in a lot of ways, isn't it? Going and being out of touch. And I know I get into areas that I'm curious about, but we don't necessarily talk about. Talk about the technology, though. Talk about, as much as you can, how you guys do survive underwater like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Virginia-class submarine, you know, she's a technological marvel, you know, kind of came into the Navy in the 21st century. So, you know, everything is, you know, screens, touch screens, stuff like that. You know, we've moved away from the dials and gauges of old time, which is great. You know, that way, you know, more screens, more information, you know, you can't complain about that. You know, which is just, it's amazing, you know, what that ship can do, you know, with the technology that it has and how it can just get, you know, continuously upgraded. So it's never going to, you know, become of the older days.
Yeah. And Isabel, I want to ask you again about support, because especially as a new mother and a young couple and a young family, it's important to have that hometown support. The Navy does a good job with that as well. But talk about what they're doing that helps you and Connor live this kind of lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. So we actually have a group called the Family Readiness Group. So it's a big support group for all of, like, the spouses who live, in this case, on the island. And the officers' wives and spouses are just absolutely amazing. If I needed anything, especially with, you know, all of our husbands deployed, they would come at my door at any moment I needed them. So they were truly amazing people, all of them. All the spouses and families attached to the Montana are just great. And that was very, very helpful, especially when you have a 2-month-old and, you know, your husband's gone with, you know, little to no communication. So it is awesome to have just that friendship and that bond. And, you know, you're going to go and grab lunch with them, or they're going to stop by just to, you know, help you do some things. Like, it is amazing.
Connor, that probably makes you feel better too, doesn't it?
No, knowing that the wives and, you know, the families that are still there were able to support, you know, if there was any issue that Isabel had, I knew she could, you know, call any of the wives.
Yep.
Especially the ones who have, you know, dealt with this before. You know, obviously there's some of the wives, they've been in the Navy, I'll say it, for 20 years with their husband. So, you know, they've been around the block. They know how to handle things. And, you know, Isabel was able to get the help she needed whenever she asked for it. So I always knew she was in good hands.
That's super cool. What, have you guys been to Montana before?
I have not, no.
I've been fortunate. When I was younger, got to, you know, see the national parks out there and see a little bit of Montana by Yellowstone, but also up in the northern areas, you know, actually doing some backcountry flying. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And skiing, right? Aren't you kind of a ski bum?
I have not skied in Montana yet, but my parents, they love to go out to Bozeman and do skiing out there and in Big Sky.
That's great. When you come here, what's going to be, do you know what your activities are going to be? Because Navy Week starts actually, and the Navy has been doing this program around the country, and it's really cool to have maybe up towards of 80 sailors and officers available doing certain public events around the area. So there's Navy Week in Montana surrounded or culminating with this air show, which will be Saturday and Sunday, next Saturday. And Sunday. What are some of the things you're looking forward to?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Tom, just getting to, you know, meet the people of Montana, you know, the love that they've showed us, you know, just to reciprocate that back. But, you know, I know I'll be taking part in some different events. There's if you go to the Navy Outreach website under Billings Navy Week, they got a full schedule of things to do. So they'll, you know, they'll just be in and around Billings, plenty of events. There'll be bands, you know, kind of STEM outreach, stuff like that. So, it'll be a good time, you know, for the citizens of, you know, Billings and Montana to, you know, come see what that Navy is and connect with the Navy, since, you know, not a lot of ocean in Montana.
Well, but we have the USS Helena, which has now been decommissioned. We have the USS Billings and we have the USS Montana. So represented it above and below the waters. Just final thoughts. What is there something about the Navy that we don't know, or something about submarining? What's kind of some of the questions that you get? I know I've asked a few of them here. What's a surprising fact that you like to tell people?
That's a good question, Tom. I was going to say, you know, I think the biggest thing that, you know, people ask is, you know, like the living and, you know, what's it like being on a sub? And, you know, what I like to, you know, tell people is, you know, the food on a submarine is probably some of the best, you know, that you can eat, you know, even outside. You know, you got to kind of keep the crew happy when you're, you know, underwater for that long. And I'll say the best day, you know, the two best days for a submarine is obviously returning to port, but two, when they bring out the 5-gallon jug of hard pack ice cream, you know, that's the that's the best thing a submarine sailor can see.
I love that. I can picture it as well. I was going to ask, you know, okay, what's the best meal on board? But I think you just noted it's hard-packed ice cream. Anything else you want to share? I know we're running out of time here, and I really thank you guys in the Navy for allowing you to come on here and talk about these things. Is there anything else to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to, just basically say thank you to the people of Montana for all the love that they show to us on the USS Montana, and the love that they probably share with the Billings and the Helena. You know, it was actually cool. You know, we got some halfway boxes that were full of, different treats and goodies, from around the state. It's actually funny, wherever we're operating, we kind of create a little box, to kind of stay in our little sandbox, and we'll name it, something about Montana. And so we named one box Ismay, because there was nobody there, and we found the smallest town in Montana was Ismay. And a couple weeks later, we're going through our halfway boxes, and we had some jerky sticks, from Ismay, Montana, from Lane Legacy. And it was just the coolest coincidence. And I just love the fact that the citizens of Montana, show that love to us. So I just had to say thank you.
Oh, and I'm glad you're feeling that, in that time of service as well. And I want to thank the people of the USS Montana Committee. And there's information there, too. Bill Witsit was saying that they're anticipating maybe a Montana-themed barbecue or steak fry in Pearl Harbor later this year for the crew. I'm not sure if that you had wind of that, but that might be upcoming as well. So they're doing a great job, and I know Montanans are connecting with this military branch of service. And I thank you so much, Lieutenant Connor Smith and Isabel Smith. Isabel, are you raising a little sailor, do you think?
I don't know. We will see. I know she definitely looks up to her dad.
Mm-hmm. Does she take to the water?
She loves the water. She's born in Hawaii. It's hard not to, right?
Yes, right? Connor, you must smile about that, right?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for your service, and thank you for that sacrifice. And we're looking forward to seeing you in Montana. Again, there's a lot of events. We'll talk more about those with Matthew McDonald here in just a little bit from the Yellowstone International Air Show. It is Lieutenant Connor Smith, Operations Officer for the USS Montana. And his lovely bride, Isabel Smith. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
So Navy Week officially starts on Monday, and it's all across Montana, but of course the International Air Show, the Blue Angels coming back. I think it was, 3 or maybe 4 years ago they were here. I have a home in the Heights, and I just can climb up on top of the roof and kind of catch some of that air show, but we'll also be attending the air show too. So it is Saturday and Sunday, August 22nd and 23rd at the Billings Logan International Airport. Gates are going to open at 9. The air show begins at 11 o'clock, and the Blue Angels perform at 3 o'clock. And there is the America 250 celebration. The Blue Angels are celebrating their 80th anniversary as well. So it's going to be a big old time. The Yellowstone International Air Show. There's a lot of work that goes into this. Welcome back here. Friday edition of From Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana. The Navy Blue Angels performing next weekend in Billings in Montana. Returning to Logan International Airport. What goes in to putting all that? Because it's not just the Navy Blue Angels. There's a lot of activities. And we're going to talk about all those with one of the gentlemen who have been working probably nonstop, probably tirelessly, and especially at this late stage to make sure this thing gets pulled off. It's Matthew McDonald, who co-chairs the Yellowstone International Air Show Committee. Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm excellent. Thank you for asking.
Yes. Thanks for coming on. I just can't imagine. I looked at the website, and people can go there. The schedule is there. It's yellowstoneairshow.com. And then I went to the About section and went to the board of directors, and there was like a million of them. And I'm thinking that's probably just about right, because there are so many components to this air show.
That's very correct. It takes 3 years of planning. The Blues will actually nominate their locations 2 years in advance, so we're already working hard. So it takes a lift of, 40, 50 plus to actively engage. You've got things from insurance to the fuel that all the performers are going to use. And so it is just a list of people in different departments making it all come together. And it really is like this apex where it comes together. It started last week, and I mean, it is crunch time right now. So, yeah. And it's fun. I mean, it's like we're running on adrenaline.
I can imagine too. And so I really appreciate the time here. Tell us about the air show. Tell us about what folks can see. Tell us about what you think people are super excited about.
Yeah, I'm happy to tell you all about it. I'm standing right now on the structure. We have, it's the largest tent in air show history. It is two football fields long. It's one platform. It comes from Pro-Am, and that's the company that builds the Waste Management Phoenix Open. They're like big Lego sets. And so this one's built just specifically for air shows. But it'll hold, we'll have one evening where we have about 1,800 people just for one event. It's a social. And then they're setting up all the other VIP tents and the Blue Angels friends and family. And there's 1,500 people in this VIP section. There's 500 in this section, 500. So that's just the VIP and chalet alone. And then the airfield's actually set up a little bit better for some viewing. We moved the show box. So the general admission actually has a better opportunity to view. And then the static is actually closer. So those are the park jets. So we learned a lot of things from last air show, and this one's going to be, it's America's 250th, so we're going to celebrate it like that.
Yeah, what are you going to make special? What's going to commemorate our 250th?
Well, I'm sworn to secrecy, so I'm going to let you in on the first secret here.
Thank you.
We have our wonderful Senator Tim Sheehy is going to jump in the Montana flag for the show opener.
Oh, nice.
Never been done before. And so it's like we get to say, like, once that happens, like, what does your state do?
Yes.
Our guys are jumping our flags in from 10,000 feet. So he's, obviously a former SEAL, has thousands of jumps under his belt. So very capable. But, you don't get an active duty senator jumping your flag in. So that's the show start. I mean, that's from the very beginning to all the way to the end. We have the F-35 Lightning II demo team Rambo. So if you remember last time, it was the one that just tore the sky open.
Oh, yeah.
So F-35s are cool. We have two F-18s coming up from Texas. And then all the flip-floppers in between. And those, like Jet Wacko, where he's got the biplane that has the jet engine installed. It's one in the world like it, where you just kind of hear the airplane and then the jet kicks in and everybody goes, what in the world is that thing? Jared Lindemann's back. And so a bunch of performers that were really high profile are coming back. We got the Red Bull jump team and the Red Bull helicopter, which he does things in a helicopter that you're not supposed to. And we got the Golden Knights, and they'll all jump together with Tim in the beginning. So if you're late to the show, you're going to miss a Super Bowl-worthy kickoff and national anthem. So my recommendations, gates open at 9, get here at 9:01. Because you're not going to want to miss what happens on the dot at 11 when the show kicks off.
Oh, that is so cool. So cool to hear that. And I'm getting butterflies, as a matter of fact, just seeing the scene and thinking, too, that, Tim Sheehy, more than just a regular guy, but he's a common sense regular guy in a lot of ways. You was senator, Navy SEAL as well. And it gets me thinking, too, about how when you put on an air show like this, this is a civilian production, but yet you have to work with your government. You have to work with the military. What is that process like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's really cool to see how the civilian world comes in and works with military and the government. A great example is, we have an arresting gear. It's a cable at the end of the runway that, if the hydraulics go out in one of our fine military aircraft, it's their last way, they put their tail hook down. And so it's a safety, never really gets used, but we got to have it. Well, we were missing a cable. And when it was showed up, the cable was damaged. So we had to find somewhere else in the country. So we're talking to the ACC, the Pentagon, the Air Force, like, where's this thing at? And it turns out it's in Las Vegas. And our wonderful friends up in Great Falls, they're so great. The 120th Air Wing, they fly the big C-130s. They had to drop off some equipment from Great Falls, and they're like, hey, we can go get it. And we're like, no way. And they're like, their training exercise is starting this weekend. So they took their big C-130, went down to Las Vegas and picked up our cable. And you're like, how are we so lucky?
Yeah.
So it was a fabulous thing. We got the cable 2 days early, but we were trucking it. So That's just an example of kind of the collaboration, you know. I mean, we just kind of, us civilian people are like, how in the heck did we just get a C-130 to go pick up a cable for us? So super grateful for those folks up in Great Falls. They're wonderful.
Well, that is great. That's a good story. You know, and they want to put on a good front here as well. And it's Navy Week, which I find kind of fascinating, and I wasn't aware. But, you know, it's events like this where they'll, around the country, bring sailors and put them out in front of the public to ask questions, and that real connection to our military. I mean, we used to be separate, Matthew, kind of, right? There was civilian, yep, and then there was military. But I think we're understanding that we're more and more we are one entity.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great example of, you know, what kind of force our military can display. It's also their mechanism for recruiting. So, you know, that's why it's so family friendly. You know, we want the kids to see this. This is where their dreams start to happen. Like, I want to fly one of those one day when I'm older. So this is actually built for the military to come show us civilians, hey, if you want to make your dreams come true, you know, this is what we get to do. So that is a great mechanism. But the thing you say about Navy Week, this is why Montana is so wonderful. And it's like, you know, we get to kind of pound our chests in proudness. They don't choose Navy Week in every location, so they'll pick just a couple of locations in a year where they send an admiral, and there's going to be a big swearing-in process. They bring some of their, you know, men and women in uniform, and it's quite a show. And so Montana, we got elected last time. We got elected this time. And so it's just, you know, a great place to showcase. There is a tremendous amount of service people in Montana, a lot of retirees and veterans. And it just goes to show, you know, Montana is a super proud, patriotic state. And so when it has an air show, they send their best. And so, you know, it's one of those things I just look and say, another great reason to be a Montanan. Yeah. And we're just proud and patriot.
Yeah, that's another great thing to hear as well, that we're right-sided with our patriotism, so to speak. I mean, we know the value of it, and we know, I think a lot of us know the kind of service that and sacrifice that's required for our military. There's got to be, with a show this big, and maybe, you know, maybe there's some things you don't want to talk about, but you've got to be, everybody's got to be kind of putting those little pieces together, right? Maybe there's a fire here or a fire there. What's it like just a week before a big show like this?
That's funny you ask. Well, I'm not really a fireman. I don't have experience in that department, but I get to be like, you know, the fire chief. So when you have something like a cable that you need to source out, and it really needs to be in the ground because the Blue Angels land on Sunday, and we are, you know, every minute counts. Sourcing out a C-130 and making that happen at the last moment, like right now this morning, I'm up here because I'm trying to coordinate with the ACC and the Air Force and also Maelstrom. And then our guys here that are doing the install, because I have a little, you know, there's a little tiny piece that's broken. And so I got to figure out where the parts are. Are they approved by the Air Force? Things, you know, this isn't my wheelhouse. Yeah. But anyway, are they approved by the Air Force, by their engineers? Yes, they are. I get the nod this morning. Okay, now we can go buy those parts and ship it up to Great Falls. And then they're going to calibrate it and have it back to us tomorrow. So little things like that, which are major, because if I don't have that gauge installed, the Blues don't fly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we scramble. And it's, you know, I never had an intention to be calling the Pentagon. But, you know, when it comes to the air show, you kind of get those numbers put in your phone, and that's what you got to do to make things happen.
So glad that you're doing that and on top of it as well. And things, I know they smolder, but as long as there's no flame. The 80th anniversary of the Blue Angels. Talk about, you know, it's an honor, right, to have them fly again in Montana.
It's incredible. So the Blue Angels fell in love with Montana in 23 when they came. The hospitality that we give, it didn't go unnoticed. And so they just, you know, they come out early. So it's called a long show where they'll just come directly from the last show and they hang out with us all week. So we entertained them, took them to a ranch and did some special things. And so they fell in love. It was like, for a lot of them, said, this is my favorite show. I've been on the team for 3 years, favorite show. So when we asked them to come back, we didn't realize it was America's 250th. We didn't realize it was the 80th birthday of the Blue Angels. And so when you think the a city the size of Billings. They fly in 32 locations. Billings, Montana is not the 32nd largest city in America. Even close. So when we're asking that, it's like, oh, we're going up against Miami, Seattle, Chicago, these huge airfares. And guess what they said? Yes, we're coming back. We love Montana. It's one of our favorite spots. So that is a huge compliment again to Montana. But yeah, to get the Blues on the 250th birthday and their 80th anniversary is, that's monumental for us. So we're super proud of that. And we're not going to let that go lightly. We are throwing a massive party to celebrate our country.
Yeah, it sure looks like it. Good job on that as well. I've only got 2 minutes left. Maybe I didn't get this out early enough, but what about safety? What do you guys do for safety concerns?
It's a tremendous amount of effort. So and a major hats off to our local police, the Highway Patrol. There's the Sheriff's Department. There's the airport. They have their own fire and safety. And then we have our local Billings Police Department, and then they'll bring in volunteers from around. And we've started meetings over a year ago. And so we'll do these follow-up meetings. We talk about evacuations, you know, the worst thing that can happen. And so they're all run kind of, you know, verbal simulators on what happens and who does what. And so they put a major effort into all the safety that goes into this. And then it's a big giant piece where we have our guys that work through the air show, like the air boss and the command centers. And so everybody knows where they're at. And boy, when you watch how this community comes together, especially our first responders, you know, I'll just tell you that my hat's off to them. They are such professionals. And they do a tremendous amount of work. So safety is peak. It's top, you know, priority for us.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be like one of your favorite events or you know, the crowd's going to light up outside of the Blue Angels, right? Maybe it's all, the whole thing.
I have several favorites, if that's fair. Mm-hmm. But when the Blues land on Sunday and we go out there and we kind of coin them all because we spend a week with them and we say their farewell, that's like an emotional gig for all of us. It's super fun. Our family's going to come out there and shake their hands for the last time. That's one of my favorites. But I would have to say the other is, it's starting right now. Seeing the big chalet go up, the structure, it's phenomenal. And then seeing it all come together in just a week. So the Blues will be tearing the sky open here Sunday evening. It's sundown because they're coming from Oregon. So when the sun starts to set, be ready to hear some, there'll be 8 jets that rip across the sky. It's going to be loud, hot, and amazing.
And I'll be up there staring at them, outside staring at them, because I'm just fascinated by it all. Hey, Matthew, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say they fly over the city, but they, when they turn on the carrier brake and they hit those afterburners, they go over the heights. So if you live in the heights and you're trying to have a you know, nice, comfortable Sunday evening, be ready to be woken up.
Matthew, get back to work. I appreciate that. I'm excited for all of this. Thank you for helping it run smoothly, you and all the people of the International Air Show. Thank you, sir.
It's our pleasure, Tom, and thank you for having me. It's good to chat with you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.